Welcome to today's edition of the Storefront Back Talk podcast series on payment security. I'm Evan Schumann. Last year, Heartland Payment Systems found itself the victim of an especially deep data breach. In early May, Heartland reported that it took a $12.6 million initial hit from the breach, most of it used to pay fines to MasterCard. Heartland is now taking the offensive and is trying to lead a movement to push the industry to a form of end-to-end encryption. Through organizing its own standards efforts, it's also pledging to roll out its end-to-end package by this year's third quarter. But the effort has hurdles. The approach could bring with it substantial key management duties, and the head of PCI has suggested any approach that Heartland does on its own could be proprietary. How will Heartland clear those hurdles? Is the industry actually ready for true end-to-end encryption? Is this even practical? We're here today with Bob Carr, Heartland's chairman and CEO, to get a better sense of Heartland's thoughts on this bold effort. Thank you so very much for taking the time with us today.
My pleasure.
There are some who will argue that the only true end-to-end encryption is for payment cards to be encrypted at the factory and to stay encrypted until received by the processor. If the consumer swipes an unencrypted card at a retail POS, isn't there always going to be some multi-nanosecond period before the data is encrypted? And if so, isn't that where the thieves are going to be targeting?
That's true. Our model is a TRSM encryption model, where there's a physical piece of hardware that's attached within centimeters or less to the magnetic stripe itself. The connection is shielded with a tamper-resistant security module, and we think that that level of risk compared to what exists out there today is entirely acceptable and will raise the level of security by a tremendous amount.
What are the kind of hurdles that you're trying to overcome right now as you're working to deploy?
We're having to sort of invent a TRSM. It's not a brand new technology, but using it for the magnetic card stripe versus a pin for a debit card is a different implementation of the technology. We are working on that now, and we are also working on an identity-based encryption model and a format preserving encryption model that will allow us to manage the keys for the merchants that implement this solution.
The keys will be managed at the Heartland side.
The keys that are used to transport the transactions into our network will be managed into our network with our HSMs, our hardware security modules, and at that point we will move to host keys, and then to when the card brands begin to accept encrypted transactions, we'll work with them on managing their keys. So there'll be multiple sets of keys in the various zones of the transaction. But we believe we have a really great solution for the merchant, keys that are used at the merchant level.
Now, you mentioned that when the card brands start to accept encrypted communications, you anticipate that happening anytime soon?
I do. I believe the card brands, the reaction that I've had from three of the four major card brands has been positive, and I think it's a matter of time before the card brands will accept encrypted transactions as part of the flow, at least for processors like Heartland, who will be ready to send them encrypted transactions.
Well, why the reversal? Because for many, many years, the brands have rather aggressively refused to accept encrypted communications, insisting that everything go over a secure network, but in the clear.
I'm not aware of that. I'm sure you're much more aware of that than I am. I'm not sure that any processor other than Heartland has ever asked a card brand to accept an encrypted track or an encrypted PAN. I could be wrong about that. I don't know, but we've had very good reception to the concept of making end-to-end encryption an alternative strategy, not to impose it upon everyone, but to make it available as a higher level of security for those merchants that elect to use it.
Can you give me a sense from the retailers, from the merchant's perspective, what would be the issues back and forth?
Well, there is a cost factor. The merchant would have to change at least the card reader in the system, and it may require more than that, depending on the point of sale type of system that the merchant has. But there is a cost, and there's any change is painful. But it's weighing the cost of that change versus the cost of being exposed to transporting card numbers in the clear and having the liability of a breach. So it's a trade-off that each merchant needs to evaluate on their own. And we believe, based upon our numerous discussions with large numbers of our clients, that merchants are eager to have an alternative to the exposure they currently have to be in violation of the current standards and to be exposed to the bad guys.
Can you give a rough idea? Let's take a typical large, let's say a Fortune 100 retailer. What kind of cost would it likely be to them to completely convert to the approach you're looking to roll out later this year?
Can't speak to a Fortune 100 company, but for an individual point of sale location, the cost to upgrade could be anywhere from $100 to $300 per location.
Beyond the POS upgrade costs, what else would it mean for a retailer to switch to this approach? Can you walk me through any differences?
Well, with our solution, we're going to ask the retailer to move to a dispute resolution service where the card number is no longer required, that we go to a reference number or other such sort of token number to handle any customer disputes in terms of draft retrieval requests or chargeback issues. That's the main other change in procedure. But again, we're just simply trying to remove the card numbers from being accessible to the bad guys. And again, we think the merchants we've talked to are excited to be able to be thinking about ways of removing the onerous liability that's out there now to be exposed. The receipt will be identical. As part of our TSM firmware, we are stripping out the last four digits of the card number to print it on the receipt. We're handing that off to the application API, and the BIN number is stripped out also so that we can do all the functionality that is triggered by the BIN number. The tracks are encrypted as they go into our network, and the PAN number, the card number, is also encrypted within the encryption of the track. So at the point of sale application, it has everything that's needed to do all of its traditional work in the traditional manner, and the encryption part is sort of invisible to the merchant at that point.
Thank you so very much for your time today. It's been a wonderful discussion. We're going to be continuing our conversation with Heartland CEO Bob Carr in the next segment of this podcast. For the Storefront Backtalk podcast series on payment security, this is Evan Schumann.